Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Come on, would you stand to your feet and let's give the Lord a praise. Come on, clap your hands to the Lord and give Him praise. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. You're worthy. We love you, God. Hallelujah. Why don't you remain standing? Put your hand over your heart this morning. Say in your heart as I'm saying aloud, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come into this place ready to receive. We come, Holy Spirit, to hear your word. So open our ears, open our eyes, and right now we open our heart. And Lord, we thank you that you're speaking to us today. So have your way in this service, and I will receive it in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. One more time. Give him a praise. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. And I just want to say hello to all the kids that are in here. Kids, big, and any other kids that are in here. Let me hear you shout, yeah. I hear you. I hear you. Those are my friends. And I love them. And I'm so glad that y'all are with us, as well as the online campus. I know that we've welcomed you probably several times already. But one more time, let's welcome our online campus with us. We love you. Come on, y'all. Let's give them a big welcome. Yes. We're glad that you're with us this morning. I am so excited to be able to speak to you today. I felt the Holy Spirit really leading me to actually bring a word that I've already spoken before, even in Kids Big. That's why I love those Kids Big people. They are amazing people, I love children. And I should say the young ones, Kids Big, and, well, Link, I love everybody. Let me just say that. I love everybody. But there's something about kids that get it. That childlike faith, they understand it. So I love when I've served in our kids' ministry because it is awesome. They exuberate the love of Jesus, especially in worship. And that's what I'm going to be talking about today is praise and worship, praise and worship. So if I asked you the question, or if somebody came to you and said, what is worship? What is praise? I bet many of you would have one of many answers. And it depends on where you kind of have your faith background from. And if you've been here at LifeLink all your life, then that's all you really understand here too. But if somebody came to you and said, what is praise and worship? Many of us would say, well, it's the 30 minutes before the message that we sing and we clap our hands and we, it's worship like that, right? Some of us would be that way. Some of us would say, well, it's a lifestyle. Some of us would say it's when the band really sounds great and the vocals are awesome and I get to just receive it. I get to just receive it. And a lot of those answers are great. A lot of those answers are great. But coming from your background, and let me just find out, how many of you have come from a background like you come from the Baptist background? Raise your hand. All right, all right. Rooted and grounded in the word. Those are my roots. How many of you come from like a Presbyterian background, Lutheran, Methodist? All right, all right, all right. How many of you come from Catholic background? All right. All those backgrounds have a different form. When you think worship, some is more, you know, silence and more of respect and those type of things. We here are a spirit-filled, Christ-centered church. And so usually the people, when I ask this one, how many of you come from a Pentecostal charismatic background? That's usually what happens. Both hands go up, and then there's this automatic shout. You know what I'm saying? And so we're going to talk about what worship looks like, or really, I should say, what does God like about worship? because we kind of just put worship from what we've known all of our life or what we experience. But God has a way that he likes. And since we are wanting to worship him, don't you think it would be good to kind of find out what that is? So we're at the Christmas time, and I was talking to the first service this morning, and when I came out here, I immediately began to weep. I had to control my tears, and it took me a little bit before I could get into the message because I could feel the weight of the cares of life on people. I felt the hopelessness that people are carrying around right now. I felt the overwhelming sensation of, yay, it's Christmas. Jesus is the reason for the season. Woof. Fa la 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 la. Right? We're getting the presents, we're doing these things, and everybody's like, it's Christmas. But underneath, there is this situation we're all facing and we've been going through, and the enemy will want to rob us of our hope. But Jesus, as we know, it's not just a cliche, is the reason for our season. And Jesus is the hope for the world and the hope for us. I am assuming that most everybody in this room has made Jesus Christ Lord of your life. And if you haven't, he is your hope, and we'll give you an opportunity today to make him Lord of your life. But even Christians have been struggling. Am I right or am I wrong? Have been struggling through this season, seeing the news, wearing the masks. Many have lost loved ones this year. This is the first Christmas that person may not be around the table for Christmas dinner. Many people have relatives that are in the hospital now, fighting for their lives. And so when your world has stopped and everybody else is going, fa la 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 la, aren't you like, out of my face? Am I right or am I wrong? You see, when things happen, the enemy wants us to lose hope. But God is wanting to remind all of us today that he's still working, and he's still moving, and Jesus is still the hope for what we're walking through. Let's give him, yes, a praise for that. And he is here, and he's put this on my heart to remind all of us how to keep that hope alive in this season. The gift that we can give him, praise and worship. And that's why I have my beautiful box that I did not gift wrap, but there's something inside that I want to show you towards the end. But today is all about discovering how we can praise God the way he likes it. And in return, when we do, things happen. Look at somebody and say, I can't wait. I can't wait. So, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that you speak to us now. Take this word, Lord, I say this in every prayer. Take this word and divide it, the pieces that need to go to each person. I pray every ear and every heart be open right now in the name of Jesus. I come against any distractions in the name of Jesus that would try to hinder us from hearing. In Jesus' name, speak. Amen and amen. Amen. Luke chapter 2 tells the story of Christmas. And for the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of jump to the places that I want to highlight. But the reason for the season is Jesus. And in Luke chapter 8 through 20, it talks about one of the parts of the Christmas story where the shepherds were out hanging out with the sheep, tending to their sheep, in the night, and an angel of the Lord said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. Somebody shout, good news. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He's a little baby, and he's wrapped in cloths, and he's lying in a manger. Hallelujah. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising. Somebody shout praising. Circle that, write it in your notes, highlight it in your phone, whatever it is, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Okay? Key word there, praising. Let's jump down into, they all went around and they went to see Mary and Joseph and the baby was there and Mary and Joseph said, hey, and they said, hey, we're coming to see because these angels came, and then they come and then they went back to, and the Bible says, now I'll get back into my preaching voice, and all who heard when the shepherds came, all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things in her heart. And verse 20 said, the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Key word praising. Now, when you hear that word praising, everybody probably thinks I'm clapping my hands, or I'm going to just give a little shout or a little dance to Jesus, okay? That's what we see. I'm going to talk to you a little bit more on what praising means. The other part of the Christmas story is Matthew 2, 9 through 11, and it's talking about the wise men, the kings that came and gave gifts, okay? So in verse 9, at the end of it, it says, the star that they saw, they were overjoyed. So they had hope in the sky. There was a star, and they went and followed that star. And on coming to the house, verse 11, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down. Circle that word, highlight it, put it, a marker on there. Bowed down and worshiped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, you just heard Pastor Dave say, we worship in three ways here at LifeLink. We worship in the word. So again, what does this worship mean? What is the definition? We would all have different definitions, but I would like to say that worship is how you respond to that which you value the most. Let's say that one more time. How you are responding to that which you value the most. You see, there are things that we really, really, really love a lot, right? We love our family. We love our church. We love shopping. We love playing video games, right? Kids big. And we love playing sports. We love those things. And whether we are Christian or not, we all worship something. Because if you follow the trail of our time, our energy, our focus, our conversations, our schedules, our money, that will give us an indicator of what we value the most. Now, Jesus doesn't mind us having things. In fact, he loves going to the mall with me. He leads me in the paths of sales and discounts. You know what I'm saying? He takes me high above all. I'm just kidding. He hangs out with me in the mall. He loves it as long as I don't put shopping before him. He loves when I love, and believe it or not, I do love football. I was a cheerleader, and so I love sports, and I love football, I love basketball. But when I'm hanging out watching the Cowboys game, all right now, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they are saying. When I'm watching the Cardinals game, okay, that was a little better. I am one of those people that love to root for the team. I wear the jersey. I paint my face. I'm the one that would have the pom-poms going, yeah, yeah, like that, right, right, right? I'm a big fan of, I have to say, the Cowboys, as I'm from Texas, and I love that. And people would say, hey, she's a great fan. But if I was rooting for Jesus in other parts, not just here at church, but in other places, people would call me not a fan of Jesus, but would probably call me a fanatic, right? if I was like shouting, painting my face, I got my Jesus shirt on, I've got my bumper sticker, it's like, okay, she's one of those type of Christians. You know what I'm saying? But why would I root for people that don't even know my name that are playing on a screen somewhere and not root for God who created me and knows the ins and outs of me? Why do all of a sudden I get all reserved? Where if I'm in the football stands, I'm like, yeah, you know it. Go Cowboys, go Cowboys, go Cardinals, whatever it is. But when I'm here clapping my hands or lifting my hands, people would go, oh, that's Pastor Cherie. Now, most people will say that she's a pastor of a church. She has to be that way. No, you don't know me that well then. You know what I'm saying? So I want to break down, what does worship and praise really mean? And what does it look like to God? What is he asking for? What does he like? Okay? So sometimes we actually think that worship is all about us. Where we come, and I think many of us could say that even today, as you got up this morning, just to get in your car to get here, it was a struggle. And you know, I just need to get into the house of God. I just need to be in his presence. I just need to be with the people of God that are encouraging. I just need to be under the praise and worship. And that is a great thing to say and to do, and that's why you're here. But I'll tell you why, when you're here and you experience the worship and you're listening to the word, that you feel that peace and that joy and you feel calm. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh, yes, this is why I'm here. This is why I'm here. It's because your focus has moved from you to him. And then when that happens, rain happens in the spirit. The rain of his peace, the rain of his provision, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, the joy that you haven't felt in a while, and hope rises in your spirit. It's because when you come to the house, that's why the Bible says, do not forsake the assembly of yourselves. And that's why the enemy has tried to really bring division in the house through COVID, through all of the political stuff, through racial things, and we will not be shaken by that. Look at somebody and say, I'm not shaken. You see, the enemy, he knows where our power comes from, and that is keeping our focus and attention upon him so that we are strengthened and renewed in his presence. So when the worship, it's not because we have such great worship, which we do. It's not because we have fabulous musicians, which we do have. It's not all of that. It's the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit that brings the peace. So it's the enemy's first thing to do is try to cut us off from that. Try to cut us off from the presence of God. So I'm going to show you some tools today that God is giving all of us. And actually, many of you already know these things. And just like I was talking to the band, I said, I want to know what you got out of worship today. And many of them said, you know, I had to move past. I've heard this before. Because they're on the platform, right? They should be the first to understand this, right? But still the enemy will try to get in the band's mind. It doesn't matter how long you've walked with the Lord, the enemy will try to say, oh, I already know this, I'm going to check out. I'm encouraging you right now, lean in like never before. Get your notes out. I don't see very many people with the phones or the notes. Come on, y'all. This is the place where you want to take notes because you want to remember these things. Because when you leave from here, you want to chew on this. And like a good roast lunch. You want to chew and get all the flavor out of it. You can chew all week long on this, I'm telling you. So I am going to say that worship is not about you. It's not about me. It's about him. So we're going to look in the book of Psalms. Psalms is a book in the Bible that's pretty fat, okay? It's got 150 chapters. And if it's got that many chapters and it's that big, I think it's a pretty important book in the Bible. And it's filled with songs that were written by David. I believe it's important. I believe it's important. If you study, if you read them, they bring you life, they bring you comfort, and you will understand that David, as the author of this book, he felt the hopelessness. He felt the pain that he was walking through, because in one sentence, he's saying, "Oh God, where are you? Have you forgotten me?" And then all of a sudden he's like, "But I will lift my hands in the sanctuary and I will bless your name." Yes. So he feels, and that should encourage you people, that the Bible is not written by people who haven't walked through stuff that we're walking through now. It just looks a little different, but yet we can learn from their lives. So expressions of praise and worship. I believe that they don't look like Sunday mornings, but they look more like a Saturday night party. Hey. Oh, is that sacrilegious, Pastor Sheree? Not in my world. Because clapping, singing, dancing, instruments, loud music. What? Yes, and I'm going to show you. Do we not cheer our football games? Do we not cheer for our team? Do we not do gaming and sit in there and go, "Yeah, oh, I almost got it. Yeah, yeah, yeah." Do y'all know what I'm saying? But yet in church, it's like, duck lips, right? And it's because we don't understand. We don't understand, and I'm going to break it down to you. The book of Psalms was written in Greek and Hebrew, the Old Testament written in Hebrew, and we have English translations of these. The New Testament written in Greek. The problem is that both Hebrew and Greek, and I'm not a Hebrew and Greek scholar, but those languages have more words than we have in the English language, okay? Their vocabulary is bigger. When the translators translated the Bible into the English words, there sometimes weren't words that they could actually put in without writing paragraphs to describe what they're trying to describe. So when the English translators translated words, they simplified it by using one word like the word praise. The thing is, praise is in the Bible. I forgot I had the number and I forgot how many hundreds of times it's used in the Bible, but there are seven different expressions or definitions, I should say, meanings to the word praise. Seven. So when you say, "Praise the Lord, da 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 da," you could be talking about one of seven. So are you ready for me to break it down? I'm going to do as animated as I can, y'all, because you may feel like you're in a college class. But if you take a hold of this, especially these kids big and Link 56, these are tools in your pocket that's going to propel you into a greater future than what you're seeing right now on TV. If your parents take this, your home's going to be filled with peace and joy when your neighbors are going to go, "What is up?" These are power tools for you. So let's look at these, y'all. The words for praise, they're going to be up on the screen. The first one is hallel, H-A-L-E-L. It means to rave, to boast, to celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Now, does this root word here look familiar to you in the word hallelujah? That's not a word that we just walk around. I'm sure Link 56 goes hallelujah in their English classes. And hallelujah. No, that's, I'm sure, that's, you usually hear that like here at church or whatever. I usually say hallelujah because it's an expression of praising God. Psalms 35:18 says, "I will give you thanks in the great assembly. Among the throngs, I will hallel you." Word up there is praise, but it means I will hallel, which means I'm going to rave about you. I'm going to be in the stands, and I'm going to shout unto you. I'm going to say, "Yeah, go Jesus, go Jesus. You get your birthday, it's your birthday." Christmas, you know what I'm saying? It's celebrating, being a little foolish. Well, it's foolish to the world. Does that mean I have to act crazy in church, Pastor Sheree? Oh my gosh, I don't know if I can do it. It's inside. But I tell you what, the world will look at us and say, you're crazy. You're in there praising. Don't you know what's happening? Don't you see the news? Don't you see the political situation we're in? Don't you see that we're having to wear masks? And you can say, oh, yeah, I do. And that's why I'm keeping my eyes on him. Hallel, to rave and boast. Because even though we don't see it in the natural eyes, right now God is working. God is moving. And he wants your hope to arise. So when you begin to rave and boast, let me tell you what happens. It changes your perspective. It changes your perspective from you, look what's happening to me. I have to wear this mask in church, and I have to do this, and I have to do this, to wait, God, you're great. You are amazing. You've helped us through. I read in your word, you helped the people of God back then, and you're going to do this here. It changes your perspective from you to him. And anytime you magnify God over anything else, nothing but rain of blessing and favor and healing and provision happen. Come on, if we're going to give God a big hand, let's give it him a big hand. It's the truth, y'all. So when we're feeling that hopelessness, and I promise you, Pastor David and I feel the same things you, and I have to go in my prayer closet and go, hallelujah! I will stir up the gift of God inside of me, and I will not be shaken by what I see, but I choose to put my hope in the Lord. This is a tool. Look at somebody and say, these are good tools. We got our tool belt on, so let's do it. So God likes it when we get a little crazy. Gets a little crazy, not just stuck in the box of tradition or religion, because that's not what we're about. We're the people of God, and we've got the power of God inside of us. So don't get your ego going and be all, what's up? I wasn't being cool there, was I? But it's like, no, I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to be all cool, whatever. No. It's not about you. It's about him. And if your love is for him, he wants your praise. He wants your praise. Okay, the second one is yada. Y-A-D-A. To acknowledge God in public with extended hand. To acknowledge God in public with extended hand. Now, we lift our hands in worship here. There's another meaning that I'm going to tell you about in just a second. But this one is like, if somebody asked you a question, how many of you are Christians in this room? Okay? It's like, oh, that's me. That's me. I want to be there. Do you know Jesus? I do. It's acknowledging him in a public place. It's like, that's me, to extend that hand. And why does God need this? Well, I don't ask God questions like, excuse me, but why do you want me to do this? Excuse me? Would you? We're talking to the king, the creator of the universe, and why do you want me to lift my hands? How self-centered is that, right? So I just lift my hands because he knows that I want to be identified. I am a Christian, and I am not afraid, and I will not bow down to anything but Christ alone. I want to be acknowledged that he is God. So it's not about God getting his ego stroked. It's like, this is the symbol. Woo, touchdown. You remember how the referees do that? When there's a wizard. What do they do? That means it's touchdown, goal, right? Am I right? Okay, I had to think about it for just a second. Okay, so we acknowledge him, that he is God in public. Psalms 138:1 says, I will give you thanks with all of my heart before the heavenly assembly, and I will, yada, I will sing and I will lift my hands right there to you, even in public, because I'm not ashamed. The next one is Barak, B-A-R-A-K, and that means to bless by kneeling or bowing. Kneeling or bowing. A picture here is us submitting ourselves in reverence, to surrender, to say, here I am. Have you ever seen a dignitary come into the room, or have you ever seen, royalty? If they came in, you would kind of bow your head. In some cultures, they actually bow all the way. That's showing honor and respect, showing honor, respect. We are blessing. We are putting them above us. I surrender. Here I am. Psalms 103:1. The screen has it in the CSB version, but I'd like to do it in the NIV. It says, praise the Lord. I tell myself with my whole heart, I will praise. I will barak. That's the Hebrew meaning. I will barak. I will get on my knees and bow before you because your name is holy. I don't know many of us, especially when we come to our worship encounters, many of us love to bow on our knees. I, in my secret place of worship, cut my phone off, cut all this off. And I get, I did this in the first service. It took me a few minutes to get up. Hang on. Whoa. But it's like, Jesus, I'm nothing. But you are Lord. And God, I submit myself to you. Your ways are higher than my ways. Your thoughts are higher than my thoughts. I need you, Holy Spirit. I am a woman that is desperate for you. And there's something that happens when I'm in that position. My heart begins to move in a different way. You know, sometimes we have to change our body position so that our heart will catch up with it. Our physical, sometimes we have to get out of our natural mind so that the spirit can begin to move. And so you'll see somebody and they're like, oh, there's that fanatic, or is it a fan of Jesus? Where I'm coming down, I am not my own, but I submit my days, I submit my schedules, I submit my life. It's you, God, and you are worthy of my praise. Come, Holy Spirit, and have your way. Make yourself known, Lord, in this temple and in the temple of my body. Do y'all see what I'm saying? That is what that word means. The next one is zamar. Zamar. To make music to God with stringed instruments. Now this one everybody understands because Psalms 150 says, praise him with the sounding of the trumpet. Praise him with the harp and the lyre. Praise him with the timbrel and the dance. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Should I do the beatboxing? My daughter's going, no, Mom, no, Mom. Praise him with the strings and the pipe. Praise him in the clash of the cymbals. Praise him with the resounding cymbals. Let everything that has what? Breath, praise the Lord. Now, I gotta look at people around here. Are y'all still breathing with me? If you have breath today, let's give the Lord a shout. Woo-hoo! Okay? Praise him. And this means zamar. That means to make that music. It is good to praise the Lord and make music to your name most high. This, I believe it's a picture of not just harps, even though those are strings, but I think God loves loud guitar players that happens to be part of my family. Right over here. I love the guitar. I love the drums. I love the instruments, right? And so many of us will say, well, yes, that's what the instruments need to do is to praise. But did you know that God created us with instruments? You just did it. You just clapped your hands. That's percussion, y'all. Give Jesus one big clap. Ready? Go. There you go. There you go. All right. Then we have lungs, which is the breath of God that he breathes through us. That's the wind instruments. And then it goes through the vocal cords, right here, strings, that you can begin to sing, you begin to speak, you begin to sing those new songs into the Lord, and atmosphere changes. You have the instruments of God in you. Not just, I have to be a guitar player before this. No, 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 no. Zamar, to make music to God with stringed instruments. Thank you, Veronica. I love it. See, we can all participate in that scripture, zamar, to praise him. And I believe here in service, y'all know what it's like when you come in and it's like, okay, I'm all whatever. But then you start hearing the drums and that foot starts to go in. And then the leg starts to go in. Yeah. And then you start clapping. And then you start singing and you don't even know the words and you're like, oh, I got to sing behind this mask. He said, but that's okay. And you start feeling, when you begin to praise him with your instruments, if you are a musician, dedicate your instrument to the Lord and use it for him. If you are a vocalist, use those vocal cords for Jesus. But the Bible says to everybody, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. So we can celebrate in this Zamar. It is good to praise the Lord and make music. And when we do that, your perspective changes. Not just here in service. I'm talking about even at home, y'all. When you just saw the news. And I just saw the news. New York City is pretty empty. People are leaving. The government, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I felt that. I was like, oh, my goodness. What is New Year's Eve going to look like? That's what I thought. Is the ball still going to drop? The world is still going to be here, right? But then I was like, I will put my hope in the Lord. So I have to change my perspective, get worship on, begin to sing in my own self and encourage myself in the Lord. When that happens, my atmosphere changes. Why? Because I'm not focusing on anything else but him. I'm bringing God in the situation. I'm bringing his presence in. Zamar. Zamar. The next one is Shabak. Shabak means to address in a loud tone, to shout. That's what Rowdy always, Jesus. You see, God likes the shout. Oh, Pastor Cherie, that's just your personality. I didn't read a scripture in the Bible that says, when you have an outgoing personality, praise me with a shout. You see, the highest form of worship is obedience. And I'm not telling you suggestions. I'm telling you what the word says. It says to praise, to zamar. It says, I'm going to keep going on with these, to barak, to shabak, I mean. It says to barak, to bow before him. It's not suggesting it. This is how God, what God loves. Pastor Cherie, wait. You just asked me where I came from, and I come from the Catholic background. We don't act like that. Are you redeemed in Christ, and is Jesus your Lord, and has he saved you from sin, and are you going to heaven today? And by the way, do you yell at the TV on a football screen, but yet in church it's a hard thing to do? I'm telling you, who do you value the most? And again, this isn't for you guys to be. I was just telling the band, I said, I think people may think we're trying to get them to do something so we can go, hey, we had a good service today. It has nothing to do with us. I'm giving you the tools that God's wanting you to have in your life to fight the enemy and to walk uprightly, strong, not depressed, not oppressed, but strong and able to walk through what other people can't do because of the life that we have. And it's through praise. It's through praise. So Shabak, to address with a loud tone. I'm telling you, again, I'm not going to shout for people who don't know my name and hold my mouth shut for a God who knows everything about me. I'm going to give him a shout. Plus, I believe it shakes the enemy. And it causes me to awaken. When I shout, hallelujah! Thank you, Lord. Jesus! The demons begin to tremble and darkness, and they go, uh-oh, she's awake. She's awake. She's awake. And that's what we need to be as the body of Christ. Psalm 63:3, because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will shabak you as long as I live. And in your name, I will lift my hands. The next one is Toda. Toda, to lift hands in adoration and surrender. Adoration and surrender. This is the other one that talks about hands lifted. So the first one was identifying, hey, I'm a Christian. Hey, I love God. I want to be a part. I want to be with you, Jesus. This one is like, I surrender. It's not about me, God, it's about you. And this is what we see a lot within the sanctuary when those, Jesus, I will trust you. I will trust you. I know you'll never fail. I will trust you. Jesus, I will. Oh, most people are going, yes. Surrender. That means I'm not going to do things my own way, but Jesus, I will. I surrender, oh, Jesus, I will trust you with my life, with my finances, with my family. I will trust you with what's going on in our country. I know you'll never fail, but I will trust you. Hands are up. Do you see what I'm saying? I will. It's surrender. Surrender. I will trust you, Lord. The last word is tequila. I didn't say tequila. Although this has the same effect. Hallelujah. Exuberant singing is what tequila means. Psalms 34:1. I will sing exuberantly. That's what that word praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises, exuberant singing. Not just because I'm a worshiper and I love music, but I think we as Christians should walk around with the song of the Lord always in our spirit. To where when we look at darkness and we walk into a place that may be dangerous, that this song is stirring and we can begin to sing it out. Exuberant singing that can only come from the place of our relationship with Jesus. You don't have to have the best voice, but it's this song of deliverance, a song of hope that you sing over your child at night when they can't fight the sickness off. You're beginning to sing, which brings me to a point. Last night, my daughter, little Tori Sue, who's 2 years old, sitting in the crib, getting ready to go to sleep. She was taking her last little drink of milk, and we had already prayed over all the family where she's involved in, and then I move into this other dimension, and I just begin to pray in the spirit, and I begin to declare all the things over. So I'm just going over, and all of a sudden she takes her little sippy cup out, and she goes, "What are you saying?" It was so hilarious because it was another language. I said, "I am praying in the Holy Spirit." "Okay, mommy." It was past my mind, and this song will come out and I will sing over her. I will sing over my family. I sing over you in the spirit. As the pastor's wife of this church, I pray for you and I declare things in the spirit through song. Exuberant singing. I will praise the Lord at all times, and I will consistently sing his praises. There is a scripture, Psalms 108, 1 and 3, that has all of these in all of these meanings, most all of them. It says, "Oh God, my heart is steadfast." And in the NIV version says, "My heart is confident in you, O God. No wonder I can sing," which is the one about, "I am a fan, your praise. I will, somebody needs to leave with that in their heart today. I will sing and give praise," which is zamar, "even with my glory. I will praise yada, you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to heal. To you among the nations." All of these definitions, God, this brings him joy. This brings him life. It's not a personality thing. Again, Jesus did not say, "Praise me," those of you that are outgoing and aren't afraid of being expressive. No, he says, "Praise me." And it will look different probably with you than it will Pastor Cherie, which is, we're not supposed to compare. We're supposed to just be obedient. And why does God want this? Because he deserves it, but he also knows what it'll do in your world. it's the enemy that we fight against. And if he sees that we're rejoicing in the midst of trials, in the midst of sickness, in the midst of some of us that are walking through hardships, and he says, whoa, they are still praising, and they're doing it loudly. They're shouting. They're doing these things. That doesn't make sense. He knows he has no foothold in our life. The point of this message is worship is love expressed. And again, the highest form of worship is obedience. You can't say to anybody, I love you, without being expressive with it. You can think it. I love you, I love you. But it's not love until you express it. It is not love until you express it. And so these are the things that God is saying for us. Are we expressing our love fully to the way that he would want us to honor him? Or is it still about us? It's got to be the right song. And I've got to have the right conditions. And the band better not go off track. Don't, no, oh gosh. They're, oh goodness, that is, oh, they got, that's distracting, so I can't worship. They took me out. No, the Bible didn't say if the band is great, which I think they are, or if the worship leader sings on key and is anointed worship. No, he said, come into my presence with singing. Come into my courts with praise. Be thankful unto me. Bless his name. You could be with no music, no lights, nothing. So I want to close with this. It's loving Jesus, falling in love with him. This gift holds something, if I can open, that represents to me worship, because it reminds me of the story in the Bible of a woman who didn't have much, and all she had was, the Bible calls it an alabaster box, a jar that was filled with very, very expensive perfume. And it's been studied that this perfume was like a year's wages for people. And she was a sinful woman. I mean, everybody knew her in the town as somebody that had a reputation. And she heard Jesus was in one of the Pharisees' house just hanging out, because that's what he did. And when she got there, everybody was like, oh my goodness, look who's here, look who's here. But she was a worshiper, and she walked in, and didn't matter all the chatter around, all the voices, she kept her eyes upon Jesus. And she came in and carried the alabaster box, knowing this was all she had, the most expensive thing she had. And this was not one of those spray perfumes where you can squirt a dot here. Hey, I'll give you a little bit of time. I'll give you a little bit of my tithe this week. And no, she knew, I want to give him everything. So she came to him, and the Bible says that she got on her knees and she broke this alabaster box, and the perfume began to flow out upon his feet. She began to weep and she began to cry, and wiped her tears, wiped his feet with her hair. And everybody's like, do you know who this person is? Do you know, if you were a real prophet, you would be saying, get out of here. This is in the scripture. You have to study it. It's in the book of Luke. And Jesus said, hold up. You didn't give me any drink when I came in here, and you didn't do some of this stuff, but since I got here and I'm sitting down, this woman came in and her focus was on me, and she gave me everything. She gave me everything, no strings attached, because see, once she broke that alabaster box, she knew that she couldn't scoop it back up and put it back in. It was it. What an act of worship. Someone who has given Jesus everything. not with conditions of if the song is right or if I have time and the game is not on, I'll be there, or even with our money, our time, whatever it is, we've given everything and we say, Jesus, here I am. I am yours. Worshippers are givers and they're focused on him, not on the news, not on anything else. I am here and this is all I have. It's my life. It's everything. It's not just a few things. Be Lord of it. I give it. And then I will stay and reverence you. I will put you in honor in my house. I will give you everything, Lord Jesus, because you are all I see. It's you, God. It's not about me. So the gift I want to give you is me. All of me. All of me. The beautiful thing that God does, and this is what I love about this story, is he didn't wait till she was all cleaned up and doing all good, and then he's like, okay, now I will receive your worship. She came with a reputation. She came with sin in her life. She came knowing what everybody else was saying about her, knowing that they were calling her the freak and the fanatic or whatever. And she didn't care, but she came and focused on him and gave it anyway. She was the giver. She came and she said, I give you my life. And then Jesus said, you are free today. Go, don't sin anymore. With the grace of God, how does that apply for us? As we give him, not just conditions of, again, it's not my personality, or it's got to be a certain climate in the building, or it's got to be this. That's not me. What? The worship is an act of expression of love of what you matter the most. What have we been focusing on? What do we give most? Well, I'm in church, aren't I? Yes. But where's our heart focusing on? Are we giving him everything of us or just portions? Are we giving him all of us, band, or just when we play the guitar? Are we giving him only when we are here to serve, dream team? Or are we giving him everything that he's asking for and more because of who he is, the God, the King? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus today that we as Christians, as the body of Christ, that we don't hold back our worship, that we don't hold back anything that you deserve, that God, we will step just out of our comfort zone, Lord God, and give you what you deserve. But we know that as we do that, it really does benefit our lives. And brings hope and strength. It brings a spiritual climate where we are covered in a season that is war. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. In your presence, there is freedom from addiction. There is freedom from wounds from the past. In your presence, it's everything. Why would we not step? Father, show us in our own lives how we can move even another step closer in this. Free us from ourselves, from our pride, from our own comfort zone. Help us, Lord, to move in obedience to you. And to not be afraid or ashamed in this season of our lives, Lord God, but to stand firm and to fall in love with you, because it is about the relationship with you. Oh, Lord, we need you. Holy Spirit, come on, just take a few moments right where you are. The Holy Spirit is speaking to each of our hearts and how this message applies to you. It's not going to be like the person next to you. Is what's God saying to you today? I give you everything, Jesus. Oh, give you me. I give you me.
Bowing down, yes, in spirit and truth. church, sing that again. That comes from the bottom of your heart today. Here I am.
Here I am. Worshiping you.
All of me, Lord.
All I am.
Worshiping you. Yeah.
Bowing down in spirit and truth.
Spirit and in truth.
Lifted hands.
Worshiping you.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
God, thank you so much for giving us access to these powerful tools today. Weapons against darkness in every way. God, we thank you that you're equipping us, Lord, to step into circumstances that would baffle us, that would overwhelm us, or challenge us, or perplex us, God. And yet through your Spirit giving us access to these weapons and tools, God, connect us with you in ways that break darkness back away, God, and position us in a flow of who you are to allow us to break through these circumstances and give us access to victory and breakthrough in Jesus' name. Thank you for the word that you've spoken in our hearts from your scripture this morning. We give you praise for it. You know, right now, whether you're in this building or whether you're watching online, I want to just say there may be some of you today who actually want to actually walk in relationship with God, but you feel something separating you. In other words, you don't feel close to him right now. God gives us the perspective in his scripture that sin is what separates us from him. So right now, I'm going to ask that you would just decide. I'm going to actually say no to sin and yes to Jesus. I want my life to be in a relationship with him, that I follow him through the rest of my life as my Savior and Lord. I'm ready to say yes to Jesus. And if that's you today, I'm going to ask that you join me and everyone else, and let's pray this prayer of repentance together. Come on, bow your heads, open your hearts and your mouths, and let's say this together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you today to forgive me for every sin that's ever I've ever committed. I don't want anything standing between you and me. So Lord, I open my heart to you. I turn my life to you, and I choose to follow you from this day forward as my only Savior, my only living God, in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said, come on, church, let's celebrate this.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.